Blog Talk Radio.
The Living by Design radio show, and I'll welcome you from wherever you're dialing in and listening in from all over the globe. We are here for another week with a very empowering topic, and ladies, I have to say thank you so much for the outpouring of love. I have received a ton of comments, email notes from you guys about this topic. So I am so glad that you're embracing this topic and you're really getting some value from this topic because it's something that is long overdue. It's something that has been going on since the beginning of time, and I am so thrilled about tonight's show because we have two very special guests who have dedicated their lives to helping others transform their lives. So I'm really excited to have Dr. Susan Murphy and Dr. Pat Heim. I hope I'm pronouncing your last name correctly, Dr. Pat. And I'm going to bring them on the line here shortly. But I just wanted to say that I'm very pleased with the way you guys have accepted this topic. So keep the love coming. Continue to listen. We're going to be covering this topic for the next several weeks because there's so many different elements to it, and we want to make sure that we get every single thing addressed. So with that, I am going to bring my experts on the line for the evening, and that is Dr. Susan Murphy and Dr. Pat Heim. Good evening, ladies. How are you doing?
Good evening.
Good evening. We're so excited to be here with you, Kathy.
Yes.
I am so excited to have you here with me. Now, Dr. Pat, am I pronouncing your name correctly, Heim?
Yes, you are, but you can call me Pat.
Pat. Okay. Thank you so much. Well,
and
I tell you,
call
this,
me Susan.
Yes, I will. Yes, and you call me Kathy.
Okay.
This topic has just absolutely exploded. My inbox just blew up. And the first time I introduced it, I talked about it, you know, just with my own insight. And now I'm bringing you guys into the discussion because I saw your book in the company of women. I said, I've got to find these two. I've got to find you guys. So I'm so glad that you agreed to come on the show.
Thank
now,
you.
Now, let's just go ahead and jump right in. I want you guys, if you don't mind explaining to our listeners, what is the Heim Group? Because that is your organization. So just explain a little bit about what you guys do.
We specialize in gender differences in the work setting, how men and women communicate differently, think differently, work differently, and tick each other off. And our goal is to help them be more effective together.
Well, that's a fabulous goal because it's something that it's necessary, yeah.
And it's a lot of fun, actually, because, you know, men and women think that the other gender does what they do just to irritate them.
Mm-hmm.
And when they learn that there are actually two different cultures, a male culture and a female culture, and that we have these invisible rules and that that's how we live. And so often when we do workshops, a man or a woman will turn to the other gender and look at their coworker and say, you mean you don't do that just to irritate me?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the problems that they have just vanish.
Wow, wow. Well, I know there is a lot going on among the female gender, and I just really kind of want to dig into it. And I'm just going to kind of start off the discussion here, ladies, and since you all do nothing but this, and I love the fact that that's all you do because we both know there's so many different aspects to it. So what is your overall perspective on the issue? I mean, it's with all the competing and hating and disapproval and lack of support, and I mean, I could just go on and on and on about the things that women – go through with each other. I mean, you could just walk in a room and feel the daggers coming from other women. What is up with that?
Well, first, we believe there's a lot of interest in this topic because it's true. We've done,
it is true.
Of course, a lot of research on it. And let me just give you a couple statistics, Kathy. 95% of women, that's almost every woman, has told us that they will be sabotaged or they've been sabotaged by another woman at work. And twice as many women would rather work for a man than work for a woman. And when you look at resenting each other, 65% of women report from Oxygen Media, Oprah's research group, that they resent powerful women. So the fact that your listeners are really interested in this makes a bunch of sense. And our research has found that women have told us really cruel, agonizing stories that were hard to believe for us. But you asked about perspectives, and I'm going to give you a couple of our perspectives, just broad ones on this issue. And the first one is that one of the reasons for these intense feelings of hate and competing is ironically because relationships are so very important to women, more so than to men. In fact, women's relationships are either fantastic or awful, and there's hardly ever one that's in between, where guys often operate in between. So this is relationships is central to the female culture. In fact, if you look at in the nursery and hospitals, baby girls are staring at the face of the caregiver to start that relationship right away, while little baby boys are looking around the room. They're not even looking at the caregiver. And another perspective is this, is the reason that women as little girls have always been told to get along and be nice. So even as little girls, they were taught not to deal when they had disagreements. And so women often do indirect aggression, which comes out as backstabbing and sabotage.
Boys grew up doing direct conflict. If you think about the games that boys play, basketball, baseball, football, etc., that's direct conflict, and boys learn how to play conflict. The girls don't do that. Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, and I mean, that makes perfect sense. But what about the women who claim to be friends? I mean, because we know there's a lot of betrayal among female friends, and the backstabbing and betrayal, it does, I know it definitely occurs with coworkers and women who may not know each other well, but what about your best friend? I mean, there has to be something, that some jealousy going on or some aspect of emotions out of control or something going on when you betray your friends, because I know that occurs a lot. Do you have any stats on that?
Well, here's what happens, Kathy. I started doing workshops for women in business because the women were trying to cope with living in a male culture. And, you know, so we would talk about how to do that. But always in the workshop, it would come, somebody would bring up that they had been betrayed by a woman. And the women would start lamenting and just really passionately lamenting about how they had been betrayed by a woman, and all of them would be just talking about this so passionately, and I would be thinking, where did this come from? And it would come up in every single workshop, and I didn't bring it up, they would bring it up, and I couldn't figure out what was causing it, what to do about it. And finally, after some time, a rocket scientist, and I am speaking literally, a rocket scientist at JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, said to me, the problem is power. That what happens is, and she was ever so right, the problem is when power gets out of whack between two women, that's what causes problems. You see, men live in hierarchies. There's always, in the male culture, there's always somebody above you and below you. And men are very comfortable with that. They start practicing it in the games that they play in childhood. And there's a coach, team captain, star players, average players, and bench warmers, and boys know where they are, and they live in hierarchies in corporations. But girls don't live in those kinds of cultures. Girls share power equally. I mean, there's never a boss doll player. And if you like me, tried to be the boss doll player on occasion, you learned that it cost you friends. So girls grow up sharing power. And so what happens when the power gets out of whack between two females, that is, one gets more power than the other, that is when the problem begins. Now, so let me give you a typical example in the business setting. Is you have, let's say, four women who happily work together in an office, and then one of them gets promoted and becomes the boss.
Mm.
All hell breaks loose.
You can't believe it.
And it's not because she has done anything yet, even necessarily. It's just the simple promotion of her. And she didn't even do the promotion. And then what happens? Then what happens? The men stand back and go, oh, no, look at what happened. We can't promote a woman next time because look at what happens. You know, all this havoc. And so who creates the problems for women moving up the ladder? We do. We women do.
Right.
So, you know, so can
because
you
it knocks the relationship out of whack because
yeah,
they
right.
want to be equal. They want, in fact, Pat, let me give an example. Pat, I really like that outfit you have on today. It is gorgeous on you.
Oh, this old thing? I got it on sale.
Mm. Now, see how we shared the power there? I gave her a compliment, and she said, oh, no, this, I don't deserve that because that'll make me more powerful than you.
Now, Kathy, I have had men say
that
to me.
That is very interesting, ladies.
Now, I've had men say to me about that interaction, why do women have such poor self-esteem?
Right, right.
But that it isn't about poor self-esteem. It is about Susan and I trying to keep the power equal. And we've learned, women have learned how to do this verbally as we grow up by little things, little exchanges like that. And it works for women. But men look at that and go, what poor self-esteem Pat has.
So do you think the jealousy aspect jumps in there with alongside the power?
Well, that's what it's about. Pat, you know, if Pat gets promoted, then women get, it looks like jealousy, but it is about Pat has, we call this the power dead even rule in the female culture, that women are supposed to have the same power across, you know, in their social group. And when a woman gets more power, even if it's just handed to her, like she gets promoted, she has violated the power dead even rule. So it looks like jealousy, but it is a violation of an invisible rule in the female culture. Does that make sense?
It does. Ladies, then let me take a little turn here. Because I was talking to one of my friends today, and I told her we were going to do part two of this topic, and she said, could you please ask the experts about the interracial or the inter-ethnicity thing with women that are angry, let's say within the African-American community. Let's just say African-American women hating other African-American women, Caucasian women hating other Caucasian women. So that's a whole, I know that's a whole nother topic and a whole nother dynamic and a whole nother paradigm. So is there anything you could just say to that? Because I know that's a whole nother show, but, you know, just quickly say something about that.
I think it still has to do with the power.
Okay.
And if one feels like they have more power than the other, maybe one feels like the other one's better looking than she is, or has gotten more achievement than she has, or gotten more visibility. But there's a secondary part that plays a role in this, too, for women. And I know Pat and I have written about this, and that's self-esteem, which is our internal power. So there's kind of the external power and then our internal power. So it could be that when one woman is feeling not very powerful on the inside, you know, women's self-esteem, we're trying so hard to keep it intact, and some days we just don't feel very powerful on the inside.
Right.
And maybe a friend feels more powerful or seems more powerful. Again, we're trying to make that power even and either bring her down to our level by insulting her or gossiping about her or just trying to tear her down or make her feel badly about something.
Yeah, and see, my take on the whole thing, ladies, is I believe, because I am a motivational speaker and a writer, and I'm all about empowerment, I believe that the power is on the inside. See, a lot of people put their self-worth on the outside, the external stuff, your status, your position, your title, your appearance, your stuff, your cars, your bank account. I don't believe in all of that external stuff showing that this is what I'm worth. I think you're worth whatever is on the inside. So if you're empty on the inside, I don't care how big of a house you have or how great of a job you have, I think you're just empty.
Yeah. You know, and what we often think about is, and God rest her soul, is Princess Diana. I mean, she was a princess, for Pete's sake. I mean, she
right.
had all kinds of external power if you were to look at her and say she's beautiful and rich and married to a prince.
Right.
And yet she, of course, was empty inside
mm-hmm.
and struggled for, you know, with anorexia and all those things because of just feeling insufficient.
There are a lot of celebrity females that fall in that category that struggle with their self-esteem internally and have all types of things externally. They have the appearance and the title and the money and the status and all those things, but it just, they are empty on the inside. They feel like they're not worthy to have a successful relationship. They've had 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 marriages. And that's why I say if we could, and let's just go ahead and talk about that, you know, because I do want to get to how can we begin to heal this situation and turn it around. What are some simple, easy steps that women can do to just begin the process of reversing the behavior?
Part of it is to realize that each of us is a leader in that, and it's up to each woman to help the other women also. In fact, in our mantra, and we've been talking about this in writing our book, Pat and I would often say that female alliances keep females free. So we need to work on building ourselves up and helping other women who may be struggling building up their self-esteem as well. In fact, in our book, we even have a bunch of information about, you know, instruments and tools you can take to see what your self-esteem is and some ideas on how to bring that up for yourself. You know, maybe make a list of the things that you have accomplished already. List your accomplishments. List things you're grateful for. List your strengths that you have going on with you. Women are often tainted by what we believe other women think of us. So we can be feeling pretty good, and if we think that somebody else thinks we're not so hot, all of a sudden we're not feeling so hot.
Yeah.
I think you have hit the nail square on the head with that, and that's because you've never seen me. Maybe you've seen pictures of me, but I came from a very dysfunctional family, and I've got a lot of different racial mixes and stuff, and my grandmother, who is very Caucasian looking and Creole, called me ugly when I was a child.
It's okay.
I mean I love the story because it and what that helped me to realize, yeah, it hurt when I was 4, 5, and 6 years old as a child, because no child wants to be called ugly by a parent, but it did help me to help other people, because I volunteered for Girl Scouts and Big Brothers Big Sisters, so I helped other young girls with their self-esteem, and exactly what you said is what I did. Because I was helping other young girls with their self-esteem, that helped me with mine.
Mm-hmm.
That helped me to feel better about who I was and how I looked, and I didn't want to put all my self-worth in the external.
Oh, I think I just got disconnected.
Oh, I lost her too.
Oh,
believe that, because when you start out from a dysfunctional place, and I think that could be adding to to part of it is when you start out from a child and a young adult from a dysfunctional place, now it's adding to all of the toxic emotions and your behaviors. And at some point, you've got to stop and realize, okay, I don't love myself in a healthy way, and I can't let other people define me or own my identity and tell me how I look and how I'm worthy. And we have to do those positive affirmations ourselves. You're beautiful, you're successful, you're worthy. And that's how we'll be able to connect with others once we build ourselves up.
And to figure out where those self-limiting beliefs came from and realize where they, and then, in fact, we have a really easy thing we recommend people do is to wear a rubber band around their wrist.
Yes.
And if they hear themselves saying, oh, you're ugly or you're
stupid,
lazy,
you can't
or
do this.
No wonder you can't find a parking place because you're never on time, and then to just snap it and just go, stop it, to just stop thinking about that and change it around and say, I'm beautiful, I'm on time, I'm always early, you know, to just do those kinds of things just with the rubber band around your wrist.
It's to train you out of the negative self-talk, because that negative self-talk actually becomes your behavior, and that behavior is not working for you.
Yeah, I wrote a book about it. That was the second book that I wrote. As a matter of fact, let's talk about In the Company of Women. What can readers and listeners, everyone who's listening, I want you to go out and get that book, ladies. We need it. So talk about what is in the book and how is it going to help the listeners and the ladies who are listening to this show, how is it going to help them to get out of that mindset?
Well, the first part of the book explains how our female culture works, because for the most part it is invisible to us, and we don't understand that we have this thing that we call the power dead even rule, that we have this expectation of power equality among other females, and that we misbehave when another female has more power. And so once you see it, it's a lot easier to manage it. Then the second part of the book is, okay, so now that you understand how the female culture works, what do you do about it? And there's some strategies in there. So, for instance, if you're the woman who suddenly gets more power, let's say you get promoted or you get the honey that everybody wanted, that there are some things that you can do. You can step back and you can look and you can say, okay, how can I increase this other person's self-esteem? Because there are essentially three things. You can increase her self-esteem, you can increase her power, or you can diminish your own power or not accentuate your own power. So let's say you were the person who got promoted. You can give that new employee, by increasing her self-esteem, you can give her opportunities to shine. You can give her an opportunity to present the new project and get the accolades for it. You can increase her power. You can, as appropriate, give her promotions or opportunities to do things. By increasing her self-esteem, you can give her positive feedback. And by decreasing your power, and sometimes women have difficulties with this when they'll say to us, why should I have to do this? Men don't have to do this, but it works. Let's say by decreasing your power, examples might be the previous boss would have individuals in the department go get things like coffee, have them do certain activities for him. You do it yourself. You go get your own coffee. You do these activities yourself. And again, women will say, "Well, why shouldn't I have them do it? I'm the boss now." Well, don't throw your power around, because
exactly
these women are real sensitive right now about you being the new boss, and you have violated the power dead even rule. Not your fault. I mean, you got the promotion. It wasn't your fault you got the promotion. But don't throw your power around, because these women are sensitive about it right now. This is how the female culture works. So these are some of the things that you can do. And then we also have other things in the second half of the book. For instance, particular problem kind of women. These are not typical male kinds of problems, because women do indirect aggression. We have the gossip and what to do about her, the sniper, the clam, the saboteur, the kitchen sink fighter, the cabal queen, and shall I say the super bitch?
Absolutely. Say the final one that we love. The super bitch.
Yeah.
Wow. I love it.
Yeah, and we had to deal with one while we were writing the book, and she as she was reading the galleys of the book, she said, "This seems very familiar. Is this me?"
Wow. Now, ladies, please, before we run out of time, tell our listeners, where can they get the book? I'm sure it's on Amazon, and is it on your website?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and give our listeners your website.
Heimgroup.com, HEIMGROUP.com.
Okay, great. Heimgroup.com. And so you can either from the website or Amazon.
Now, one thing, Kathy, I want to make sure we say before we leave, and that is many, many studies have shown that women are fabulous leaders, In fact, of criteria, they often outscore men in that. So we need to help women embrace leadership, and other women to embrace leadership for them, and to help each other's self-esteem. So we want to make sure that we get women into those powerful positions, and that we all rise when one ship rises.
Exactly, exactly. And I love what you said about don't throw your power around. And I know there are so many tips and tools in the book, and I can't wait to read it myself, and I want everyone listening to also purchase the book. But don't throw your power around. Let me just add to that. I don't know if it's in the book or not, but I love that. I love that. And I'm also say, please don't throw your relationship, your marriage, your significant other, because there are a lot of women out there who've never been married, who want to be married, and that could also be a way of creating animosity or antagonizing another woman by, oh, I'm so happy in my marriage, oh, and knowing
Absolutely.
That other woman wants to be married. Don't do
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Same with your children, your house, your car. All of those things are power. So,
right.
you know, you don't have to mention it, you know?
Exactly.
You just don't have to mention it.
Be compassionate and empathetic with other women.
Right. Right. Or if you do mention it, just build her up and say, you're so beautiful, you're so successful, your prince is going to come along, it's not your time yet. Or just say something positive and build her up and let her know. I always say, there's plenty of love to go around. There's plenty of success to go around. And there are plenty of men to go around, or women, or, you know, whatever your sexual preference is. I don't care. But there are plenty of significant others and spouses to go around. So don't look at other people and say, she's got more than I've got and I'm not successful. That's not true. You just need to tap into your inner power so that you can have what it is you want in life.
Yeah,
absolutely. There's a lot of success that can be had by everybody.
Right, right. Ladies, we are coming up on our last minute of the show, and I have enjoyed this so much. I'm going to have to bring you back so that we can just really dig deeper into this, and I'm going to let you take us out with just the final encouraging words for our ladies, just some final great words that they can take away, and of course they're going to go buy the book, just some final words to take away.
Pat, should we do our slogan that we say?
Yeah, I think we should.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Female
alliances.
Keep
females free.
I love that. You said, so email alliances, keep
female alliances, keep females free.
Female alliances, keep females free.
Female alliances, keep females free. I love it.
We got to stick together.
Yes. Yes, because we are the motherhood of mankind. We are the mother of mankind.
Yeah.
So we need to celebrate
our commonalities, not our differences. Yes, we're all different, but there's a much more power in what we all have in common, and that's that we are the mother of mankind. Tons of women are single, heading up single households and all these things. So let's celebrate our commonalities, not our differences. So thank you, ladies, so much. You have been wonderful, and I thank you for joining us this evening. You've just been amazing, and we've got to have you back.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. We had a great time.
Thank you so much.
We look forward to the next time.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I am Kathy Holloway Hill, and we are going to sign off for now, but we'll be back next week with another episode of Living by Design. Good evening, everyone.